Hello, I'm Rob Murphy and you're listening to a knockon.ie podcast. The IRFU have released their club sustainability report this week, developed after almost 2 years of consultation and consideration with clubs. They're looking to introduce a series of new regulations aimed at promoting and developing the domestic games at all levels. A lot of the focus has been on pay for play, but it's also been on focus on structures, on development of facilities and many other things. We'll be covering the report in a lot of detail over the coming weeks and months throughout the off-season. But to start our coverage, we decided to rerun an interview we did with Jim Glennon, the former Irish international and Fianna Fáil politician, who we caught up with at the start of the season when he attended the Claremorris RFC Pitch Fund launch. Jim was very passionate about his thoughts on the club game. He's heavily involved with Skerry's RFC and he does feel that some changes are needed. Have a listen to some of his thoughts as they are more relevant now than they even were then.
I started playing my own rugby in the early 60s when I wasn't a school that played the game, and we were one of the first clubs in the country to have underage football. My father was involved. Skerry's at the time was a town with a population of 2,000 or 3,000 people. It's been a wonderful association that I have had with rugby through my club for, it's only now that I think about it, but it's 50 years or almost 50 years since I first started playing. And, you know, in this modern day and age when money seems to rule the roost at the top level of the game, this is, for me, is real rugby. This is the rugby that I was brought up on. This is what rugby means to me. And I was asked to come down here and give a dig out. Not a particularly appropriate choice of words, maybe, for a former Fianna Fáil TD, but I was happy to help if me coming down. I don't know what I can do, but if it can do something, I'm absolutely happy just to, even to be seen to support it.
I know talking to Paul and Fergal, they're so delighted and honoured that you guys are backing them. But you know, the basic finances of setting up a club, maybe people don't appreciate how what a phenomenal challenge it is for these lads to get it up and running. They've got it up and running without a pitch, a home pitch. They've just got a training patch and they're trying to raise the funds just to get a pitch. They've got the land, but there's still a lot of work. It's some finances really to develop a club, isn't it?
It is an awesome challenge. First of all, leaving aside the development of the club, to actually put a team out on the pitch, and particularly, if I may say so, in Connacht, where there's so much mileage to be done to fulfil fixtures, the current costs, the annual costs and overheads of actually keeping a team out there competing are significant enough without having to get into the capital costs. And it's just it's a mammoth undertaking, there's no doubt about it, and they deserve, in my view, they deserve every possible support for that reason.
And you're talking across Dublin, and where clubs are, you know, in some ways in the same situation, where there are a lot of clubs, like, they look at Skerry's, they look at Sea Point, they look at Greystones, they say to themselves, how can we get this community identity? Clubs like this have that from the very outset. And is it a GAA thing? Is it a rural thing?
It is a GAA thing.
I think so, yeah.
Well, very, very definitely. It is. It's a rural thing, by and large. I firmly believed in my time playing Towns Cup rugby in Leinster, it was easily the most enjoyable rugby that I played.
Yeah,
it was
the crowds, the
community aspect of it. Unfortunately, the downside of it is that in the smaller communities there, which thrive on the community support, when it begins to go wrong, the community on which they're relying is always relatively small. The bigger ones then can roll in the high rollers and with the checkbooks, whereas the smaller clubs tend to struggle to a much greater degree. And while some of the bigger clubs can pull themselves out of difficulty relatively quickly, it tends to be a much longer process. And I speak of this from some experience. Skerry's were relegated from the All-Ireland League 8 years ago. You know, all the glib comment was, actually, we'll go back up in a couple of years. It doesn't happen like that. When you get into that downward spiral, and when you get into difficulty, it is extremely difficult to turn it around. But the only thing that does turn it around, in my view, is what the lads are doing here. And what I particularly love about what they're doing here is their emphasis on their own youths. and bringing their own kids up through the ranks. You can't rely on buying in talent anymore, or as it used to be in my time, maybe a fella worked in the bank or in the guards and played a bit of rugby before he came to the town, and it was a godsend, the only way to do it. And Skerry's, we did it 50 years ago now. You start with your own kids and you work them, because your own kids set up is your, quite literally, it's your future. You'll know from the strength of your kids set up how you're going to be doing in 10 years' time. It's as predictable as that.
Because we're under a little bit of time pressure, so I just want to ask you, just, you talk about the kind of cycle that some clubs get into. Is there a way of restructuring the All-Ireland League to safeguard against that? Now, that's, I've put too big a question in there, but you know what I mean?
It's not, I believe there is. I would be quite cynical about the game at the highest level. I refer to it now as show business, because it is quite it's quite divorced from the game that Claremorris play and the game that Skerry's play.
Of course. It's
a game that's designed for television. It's a game that's designed for athletes who are television friendly, and I'm not talking about their interviewing ability. I'm talking about their physical shape. And unfortunately, the laws of the game are being changed on a regular basis to suit the television spectacle. That's not doing the game at grassroots level, such as Claremorris or Skerry's or anywhere else, any good at all. And I hope that in time to come that there will be a separate set of rules. If it means a split, as we had over 100 years ago with rugby league, so be it. But the game that we know and love, to me, is being sold for the television revenue that keeps the professional game in business. And the cyclical nature of the difficulties that you hit, that's what makes and breaks clubs, but it's what makes and breaks the friendships that clubs are based on, and that the rivalry with neighbouring clubs are based on as well. And we all have our ups and downs, and that's the whole essence of the sport. It's not all about what goes on the pitch. It's about your rivalry going back over a long number of years. My son captained Skerry's this year. I captained Skerry's in my time. My father captained Skerry's in his time. We're the first family to have three generations of captains, and I'm very, very proud of it. We've seen good times and we've seen bad times. We're on relatively good times at the moment, but there'll be more bad times. But that's what makes the game. You can't buy in. The smaller clubs will never be able to buy in like the bigger clubs can. So I'm going a long way around and on a little bit of a rant about answering it. There's probably a couple of dozen aspiring elite clubs. There's probably about 15 or 16 really elite clubs in the country. I'd let them off, to be honest with you. Let them have their All-Ireland League, and I'd be playing provincial leagues underneath that level
with the national competitions,
have a provincial league qualifier, have the round robin into Division 2 of that top strata, if you wish. But in my view, you have your provincial leagues, and you can always have your Skerry's a trip to Claremorris for the weekend, and you can go back to that style of rugby which made rugby what it was and really produced the interest in it. But you know, we tend to model ourselves, and it's like every soccer club wants to be a Man United and models on the Premiership clubs. I don't believe it is appropriate that rugby clubs should be modelling themselves on what's happening at the highest level of the game. It's great as spectators, and I would have some experience of it myself on the other side, but it's not rugby as I grew up with, or you grew up with, or the vast majority of us grew up with, and I think we should just stick to the knitting.
Final question, where we believe in getting people out to follow the community game. We're trying to get it across to people that, you know, there's so much to be got from knowing the players that you're watching on the pitch, from knowing their backgrounds and the different characters that make up a team, and then just the sheer quality that some of the top teams can produce, like Enniscorthy did this year, like Skerry's did as well. 3,000 people at a Towns Cup final between Enniscorthy and Tullow. In Connacht this year, Galwegians played Loughrea. Galwegians seconds brought a fair few. Loughrea brought about 1,500 people. Is there a sense around Ireland now that community sport is getting big again, and there's a lot of value to be got from going to see your local club.
Yeah, I'm going to put on my other hat here now as a member of the Sports Council and say that I see a huge move back to, certainly in rugby, back to the clubs. When I look at a Leinster crowd in the RDS, or I look at a Munster crowd in Thomond Park, I see people who didn't follow their local club but have now found a niche for themselves, and they're welcome. Absolutely. and good luck to them, and it's great that they're there and they're contributing by their admission ticket or their season ticket. They're contributing hugely to the provincial effort, but I think the novelty has worn off for the ardent clubman, the ordinary fellow who goes to a club match, might go to the club bar once a week, might occasionally, if the weather is very, very good, go and watch a training session, but will, he's back now and she's back now and they're watching the club rather than going to the RDS. The RDS is there for what I would refer to as the eventers, the people who were on the corporate entertainment circuit when the Celtic Tiger was around, and Thomond and Ravenhill. The RDS are very good examples of that, but there is a big move back to the clubs, and there's a real move back in sync with everything that's happening socially around the country in the post-crash Ireland. It's back to the basics for everybody, and I think we're looking into an era of rugby clubs thriving because the community backing is now much wider than it used to be. Because, thanks to the professional game, there's a much greater appreciation and acceptance of rugby, and there's a huge respect now for the players who play the game, and there's a greater understanding of what the game is about, and we can now translate that into a local community effort in every town and village in the country.